You ever like post something on social media and then think, oh, what if my boss sees this?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Well, today we're going deep on a case that brings that very question to court. And honestly, this case might make you rethink your whole approach to social media.
Yeah, this is Ayling versus Monmouth Ocean Hospital. It really gets into this tricky area of employee social media and how much employers can look into it.
Okay, so let's start with the basics. Who is Deborah Elling? And what exactly got her into this legal mess?
So Deborah Elling, she was a nurse and a paramedic at Monmouth Ocean Hospital. They call it Melamo and Tree for short. But here's the thing that makes this case a bit different. She was also the president of her local union.
Oh, wow. So it's not just like a regular worker versus boss situation.
Exactly. Yeah, that union role adds a whole other layer to this case.
Okay, so what was the actual incident that set off this whole lawsuit?
So Ailyn made a Facebook post about a shooting that happened at the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. And her opinions in the post were kind of controversial, but she thought it was a private conversation. Her Facebook settings were set to friends only.
The classic, it's just my friend's defense.
Yeah. But you can probably guess Amona C. found out about the post anyway.
I'm assuming it wasn't in like a nice way either.
Yeah, this is where things get a little iffy legally and ethically. Ailing claimed that one of her supervisors actually pressured another employee who was friends with Ailing on Facebook to go into her account and show them the post.
That doesn't sound right at all, even if the content of the post was something they were concerned
I
about.
agree, and Mema TC didn't stop at just firing her. They took it even further.
Oh, wow.
They reported her to like the nursing and paramedic licensing boards, talk about really coming down hard.
So Ealing decided to fight back, I
Yeah,
imagine.
she did. She sued Moerneris, and her legal arguments were really interesting. She said that Monosi broke the New Jersey Wiretapping Act and that they invaded her privacy. It really brings up this whole debate about social media privacy in the workplace.
Okay, let's break those arguments down, starting with the Wiretapping Act. Was Momorosi like secretly recording her or something?
Not quite, no. The Wiretapping Act is all about intercepting communications that are happening live, like listening in on a phone call as it's happening. But in this case, Ailing's post was already on Facebook's server, so it wasn't being intercepted in that sense.
Okay, that makes sense. So the court probably tossed that argument out pretty quickly, right?
They did, yeah.
So let's move on to the invasion of privacy claim. Did Dealing have more luck with that one?
This is where the case gets really interesting. The court actually said Ailing might have a valid argument here, and the reason was her Facebook settings. You see, she had an expectation of privacy because her settings were set to friends only.
So the court was basically saying that employers can't just treat social media as like a free-for-all spying ground.
Exactly. They were acknowledging that there are some limits to what employers can do, even if the content is technically out there.
I bet there's a big but coming, though.
There is. The court wasn't saying that employers can never, ever look at an employee's social media. They said it needs to be done very carefully, and there needs to be respect for the employee's privacy. The context matters a lot.
Okay, so what were some of the specific issues the court had with how the Moan Culling handled this?
Well, remember how they allegedly pressured another employee to get into Ailing's account that really rubbed the court the wrong way? That element of coercion made their actions look way more intrusive, way more offensive, and that's a big deal when you're talking about invasion of privacy.
So the difference between finding something out in the open versus like sneaking around to get the information.
Right, and to make things even more complicated, the court didn't create like a hard and fast rule about what employers can and can't do. They basically said it has to be decided case by case, looking at things like privacy settings, the employer's intentions, how the information was obtained, all that stuff.
So it sounds like there's still a lot of gray area here, even after this case.
Oh yeah, definitely. And that's something we'll keep exploring in the next part of our deep dive.
Stay tuned.
And we're back for part two of our deep dive looking at the Ailing case and all the ways it's changed how we think about social media privacy at work.
Before the break, we were talking about how this case is kind of like a signal that privacy law has to adapt to our digital world, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what makes this case so important, even though it was decided way back in 2012, is that it made courts start thinking about how our old ideas about privacy work with this whole new world of social media.
I think some people might hear this case and be like, well, if you don't want your boss to see it, just don't post it online. But the court in the Ealing case seemed to understand that social media is not that simple.
I think that's a really good point, and it's something courts are still trying to figure out. You know, the Ealing case showed that it's not just black and white the court got, that people use social media for different reasons. Some people treat it like a stage where they're broadcasting to everyone, but other people use it more like a private space to connect with close friends and family.
So then how do you even decide if someone has a reasonable expectation of privacy for the stuff they post online? It can't just be about whether they clicked friends only, right?
Right. It's not that simple. The Ealing case pointed to a few important things. One is what's actually in the post itself. Is it something the person would normally want to keep private, or is it more like a public announcement? And then there's the platform they're using.
Yeah.
Facebook lets you control your privacy settings, but other platforms like Twitter are just naturally more public.
Okay, and what about the size of their audience? Like, does it matter if they have hundreds of friends versus just a handful members?
That's another tough one. The Ealing case suggests that having a lot of friends or followers doesn't automatically mean you've given up your privacy rights, but it's something the courts will definitely consider. It's kind of like having a conversation in a crowded room. If you're whispering to one person, you might reasonably expect that to be private, but if you're yelling it from the rooftops, it's different.
So basically, the whole context matters a lot, but where does this leave employers? Can they just go snooping around their employees' social media accounts whenever they want?
The Ealing case is like a warning sign for any employer who thinks they can do that, that the court was very clear that employers have to be careful when they're looking at employees' social media accounts, like pressuring another employee to get access, like what allegedly happened in Ealing. That's a huge no-no.
So what's the best way for employers to handle this if they're concerned about what their employees are doing online?
The key is being transparent and having clear policies. Employers need to tell their employees what's okay and what's not okay when it comes to social media, both on and off the clock. And they need to be clear about the consequences for breaking those rules. And if an employer does need to look at an employee's social media, there has to be a good reason for it, a legitimate business reason, and they have to do it the right way legally.
So it's all about finding that balance between protecting the company and respecting the employee's privacy.
Exactly. And we can't forget that social media is constantly changing. What might have been private a few years ago might be public now. Both employers and employees need to keep up with the latest legal developments and best practices.
This case has really given us a lot to think about.
It has. And as social media becomes more and more a part of our lives, these issues of privacy and how much employers can monitor are only going to get bigger and more complicated. Now, let's bring it back to the specific legal stuff in the Ealing case.
Okay, so we already talked about the Wiretapping Act and how that didn't really apply here because the communication wasn't intercepted live. But what about the invasion of privacy claim? What are the parts of that claim, and how did the court use them in this case?
To win an invasion of privacy case in New Jersey, Ealing had to prove two things. One, that she had a reasonable expectation of privacy for those Facebook posts, and two, that what Monosi did to get that information was highly offensive to a normal person.
And how did the court analyze those two things in Ealing's case?
Well, remember that Ealing had her privacy settings on Facebook set to friends. Only the court saw that as a sign that she wanted to keep those posts private, although it wasn't proof for sure. They also said that the number of Facebook friends she had didn't really matter that much. Just because she had a lot of friends didn't mean she was trying to share her views with the whole world.
But didn't Monosi get access to her account through another employee? Wouldn't that be a problem for the court?
Absolutely. That was a really big factor. The court said that what Monosi supposedly did by pressuring that other employee to get into Ealing's account could be highly offensive, and that could count as an invasion of privacy. They compared it to someone peeking into your personal diary. The way you get the information matters.
So even if Ealing's posts weren't technically a secret, the way Monosi got to them was still an issue.
Exactly. And this shows something really important for employers. It's not just about what's in the posts. It's about how you get that information using sneaky or forceful tactics is going to look really bad in court.
So bottom line, what should employers do to protect themselves and avoid getting in trouble over their employees' social media?
The most important thing is to have a clear social media policy that spells out what's expected of employees both at work and outside of work. This policy should cover things like what kinds of posts are off limits, how to handle confidential company info, and what happens if you break the rules.
So setting clear boundaries right from the start is key.
Exactly. And it's just as important to make sure your employees actually understand the policy by training them on it.
What about keeping tabs on employees' social media? Is that ever allowed?
There are some cases where monitoring might be okay. like if there's a real worry that an employee is doing something wrong or they're using social media to harass or bully someone. But it's really important to remember that going into an employee's private social media without a good reason and their permission could be breaking privacy laws, and it could even be illegal.
Sounds like employers really need to be careful here.
For sure, it's a legal minefield, and the rules are still being figured out now. For our lawyer and law student listeners who might be advising clients on this stuff, what are some of the big takeaways from the Ealing case?
That's a great question. What advice would you give them?
Well, the biggest thing is that this case shows how privacy law is changing to keep up with the digital world. Social media makes it harder to tell what's public and what's private, and the law is trying to catch up. We're basically making the rules as we go. Another thing to remember is that context is super important. There's no easy answer when it comes to deciding if an employee has a right to privacy for their social media posts.
So things like the platform, the content, who they're sharing it with, how the information was obtained, all of that matters.
Exactly. And lastly, I think the Ealing case is a reminder that technology can change faster than the law can.
What do you mean by that?
Well, we have all these new platforms and technologies popping up all the time, and the law is often playing catch up. We're always running into new legal questions that didn't even exist a few years ago, like this whole thing with disappearing message apps.
Or using artificial intelligence to go through social media data. That's a whole other world.
Right. Those are new areas that bring up a lot of legal and ethical questions. Seems like this part of the law is going to be changing for a long time.
Definitely. As social media keeps evolving, we can expect even more lawsuits and legal fights about this stuff. It looks like we've covered a lot today, but this is really just the beginning.
It is. As social media becomes even more woven into our lives, these questions about privacy and how much employers can get involved are only going to get more complex and more important. We need to keep talking about it.
For sure. So what are some final things you want our listeners to think about?
This case was all about Facebook, but think about all the other platforms out there, LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, the list goes on and on.
I guess the same ideas apply to those too, right?
For the most part, yes. But each platform has its own quirks and its own privacy settings, and it's important to know how those work. We all need to be smart about social media, not just for our personal lives, but for our professional lives too.
It's not enough to just know how to use the apps anymore. We need to understand the legal and ethical side of what we do online.
Very well said. We hope this deep dive into the Ealing case has given everyone a better grasp of this whole social media privacy thing at work.
And remember, this isn't just a legal issue. It's a societal one that affects all of us. Let's keep the conversation going. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive. Until next time. And we're back. It's the Deep Dive. And we've been really digging into this case, Ealing versus Monmouth Ocean Hospital, the one that kind of flipped the script on how we think about social media privacy at work.
It did. And, you know, as we've seen, this case has implications for everyone, not just nurses and hospitals. It's like a wake-up call for anyone who uses social media, especially when it comes to their job.
For sure. We talked about the do's and don'ts for employers. But let's switch gears for a sec. What about employees? What can they do to protect themselves in this wild world of social media that seems to change every day?
That's a huge question. Probably the most obvious advice is just to think before you post, even if you think it's private. You know, in this day and age with screenshots and everything being saved online, there's always a chance that something you post could come back to haunt you, especially at work.
So even if you hit that delete button, it's not really gone.
Pretty much, yeah. Once it's out there on the internet, it's super hard to completely get rid of it. And even with those privacy settings locked down tight, there's still the risk that someone could share your post without asking you.
I guess it comes down to thinking about what could happen before you hit that post
button. Exactly. Better safe than sorry. You know,
what about privacy settings? Are those even worth it anymore, or are they just giving us a false sense of security?
Privacy settings are still important. Don't get me wrong. Using strong privacy settings can help control who sees your posts. But like we talked about, they're not a foolproof guarantee of privacy.
So they're like one layer of protection, but not the only one.
Exactly. And it's important to remember that even if your profile is locked down, your employer could still find out stuff about you through other ways, like maybe a coworker shares something you posted, or your employer finds your profile through a public search.
So are employees just stuck with no privacy at all in the digital world?
I wouldn't say that it's not about giving up on privacy altogether. It's more about being smart and knowing the risks. It's kind of like wearing a seatbelt.
Huh.
You don't wear a seatbelt because you're planning on getting into an accident, but you wear it just in case.
I like that analogy. So strong privacy settings. Thinking before you post, knowing that things can be found online. That's all part of our social media seatbelt.
You got it. And just like a seatbelt, taking those precautions doesn't mean nothing bad will ever happen, but it can help reduce the risks.
It seems like this whole conversation really shows how important education is. Both employers and employees need to know their rights and responsibilities when it comes to social media.
100%. It's not just about avoiding lawsuits. It's about building a workplace culture where there's respect and understanding. And as technology keeps changing so fast, we need to keep having these conversations. What might have been private a few years ago might not be private today. And the other way around, it's a constantly shifting landscape.
For sure. And this case was all about Facebook. But what about all those other platforms like LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat? It feels like there's a new one every day.
Oh, you're so right. And while the same general ideas probably apply, each platform has its own quirks and its own privacy settings, it's important to know how those work.
So basically, we all need to become social media experts, not just for fun, but for our careers too.
Well said. It's not enough to just know how to use these apps anymore. We need to know the legal and ethical side of things too.
Well, that about wraps up our deep dive into the Elling case. We hope this has helped clear up some of the confusion around social media privacy at work.
And remember, this isn't just a legal thing. It affects all of us. Let's keep this conversation going.
Big thanks to everyone for joining us on the Deep Dive. We'll see you next time.